Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And welcome to Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Or just geek out.
Yeah, which is totally what we're about to do right now, because the Hawkeye finale dropped today, meaning, well, when this episode dropped. So yesterday.
It dropped on the same day that we are recording this.
Yes. And we made sure I got up early, had a bowl of Cocoa Krispies, and watched the Hawkeye finale before work this morning.
So I did something similar, but with banana bread and coffee.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what'd you think?
I really, really enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
I thought overall it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that they brought things down to the street level.
Yeah.
MCU style. I mean, it's what I enjoyed about Daredevil on Netflix, mm-hmm. but I don't know. When I watched
Daredevil
that,
Daredevil was more like gritty and
That's what I was about to say, is that the whole feel of the Netflix Marvel shows never quite felt like they fit into the world of the MCU, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like we know this whole multiverse thing is happening, mm-hmm. all right? And the MCU is obviously the PG-13 universe.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Certain things just can't happen.
Yeah, not here. When they're under Disney. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Daredevil still happened while Marvel was under Disney. So
I know, but I
maybe
mean,
they'll
my point...
put because the way that Disney works is they put their more gritty, intense stuff on Hulu. So like,
yes.
Maybe they'll do something like that for Marvel.
I don't know. But I have a feeling that everything that's going to be, and this now we're not even geeking out. Now we're just talking business.
Oh,
I feel like everything that is, that will fall under the MCU direct umbrella, meaning all of the interconnected world stuff, is all going to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Cause that is the number one priority.
Yeah. I don't see how they could have a show like Hitmonkey be so interconnected with the MCU that it is considered critical viewing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so anything that I think that Kevin Feige would consider critical viewing, you know, where the shows and the movies are interconnected and you got to watch all of them to keep up with the storylines, all of that kind of stuff has to end up on Disney Plus, and therefore it is the PG-13 universe, not the comics ultimate universe.
Yeah. Great. Okay. I have nothing to say about that, but we can talk about Hawkeye now. Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. So a street level like Daredevil, but still within the MCU proper, you know? Hence everything, all the violence is a little more PG-13.
It was still fun.
But it was a lot of fun.
Fight
yeah.
scenes and hand-to-hand combat and all that. Yeah.
Not taken away from that at all. Mm-hmm. But I just make it a point, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's nice to see things come down from alien invasions.
Yeah.
And I think that should we just give a spoiler alert? Right
obviously
now.
The episode description is going to be filled with spoiler alerts, Mon. We're
okay,
talking
so,
about the show, all of it.
All right. Well, when we write the, you know, episode description, we should start off with the words spoiler warning.
Mon, do you even read our episode descriptions? I say that on every thing that we like, every episode, every show and movie that we
watch. I've been busy lately. All right.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Stop using your child as an excuse for everything.
Well, then what was the point of having him?
Wow. Okay. Wow. We should probably unpack that at some point. Anyway. Okay. What spoiler were you going to give?
Okay. The spoiler that I was going to give is Kingpin.
Yes.
The arrival of Kingpin, whether it's the same Kingpin that we saw in Daredevil or not, I think that's still a little bit up for debate.
Yeah. Agreed.
But either way, it solves a major problem, which is that you know, I feel like during the first three phases of the MCU, everything short of Thanos was just like, just made you feel like no other threat was in and of itself an important enough threat.
Yeah.
You know, every other bad guy, every other challenge was just second tier. It was just a stepping stone to finally fight the big bad.
Yeah.
Whereas in Hawkeye, Vincent D'Onofrio's portrayal of Kingpin and the way the show, you know, the show creators of Hawkeye, the directors and writers wrote Kingpin, made him a true threat in and of itself. Like, yeah. This is a guy where he has an agenda that is not global domination or universal domination or, you know, I'm going to destroy the universe or snap half of all life out of existence, blah, 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 blah. You know, like he's a mobster, but he's a mobster that I think any Avenger, even working as a team, would have a really tough time with. Yeah. Because this is a guy who is very smart, very violent, physically very strong, inhuman at inhuman levels.
Uh-huh.
And I don't at lowercase inhuman, not inhuman, you know, but like he was like an actual threat, you know. And then super spoiler alert, I don't think that what they implied at the end is actually what happened.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I was like, how the hell, like, could you just bring Kingpin back just to kill him? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's so bullshit.
And obviously they didn't show it like that.
Exactly.
We just hear a gunshot, but we don't know what actually happened.
I mean, Kate Bishop shot him with an arrow in the chest and he just went, whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, are you wearing bulletproof armor like underneath your weird Hawaiian shirt that you're wearing? Which I kind of liked, actually. That like the Hawaiian shirt. So
maybe that's Wilson Fisk's idea of being festive.
I was just about to say that. Yes, I think it is his idea of being festive. He's like, sure, you know what? Me punching you, I will make this as festive as possible by wearing a Hawaiian shirt while I do that. So, yeah. I also think the like him throwing all those punches at Kate Bishop, she should have been dead after the first punch. Oh, like,
hell yeah. That's why, like, as I was watching, because you finished the episode before I did, that's why I was like, all right, I'm just going to be live texting you all my thoughts on this.
That was really funny.
That's when that scene happened. I was like, is anybody human on this show? Like, even Hawkeye's brutal beating by Yelena, I was like, what? Bruh, you should have a broken jaw at least.
Yeah.
And your forearms should be shattered pieces right now.
Yeah, that was really I mean, I actually really wanted to, if you don't mind, I just wanted to read out loud the commentary that you texted me.
Absolutely, go for it.
Because I told you, I was like, I'm just not going to say anything until you finish. And then you said, the Yelena / Kate banter is just so good. And I wrote in all caps, I love it, because we need to talk about that at some point. So anyway,
yes, absolutely.
Here's my reading of your text to me. Jeremy Renner, .. Totally swaggerjacking Tony and Cap. Hawkeye, .. Crashing an owl's house. What a douche. Kate is really missing her calling as a structural engineer. Why is Wilson wearing a Hawaiian shirt? He seems a lot more underground in the MCU than in the Netflix version. How are Hawkeye's arms and head not broken after that beating with a steel baton from Florence? I don't think anyone in this show, anyone is human in this show. And then you wrote, what a man, choking back those tears and just bottling up those feelings. Who were you talking about?
I was talking about when at the very end, when Hawkeye and Yelena are having that like heart to heart.
Oh, yeah.
And she finally accepts that, you know, her adopted sister may have truly just sacrificed herself and there is nobody to blame. And then Jeremy Renner gets all choked up, but he like fights back the tears, doesn't actually
there was
let
a tear.
A drop.
No, there was a tear on his face, Iman. You had to look closely. There was
okay. There was a tear on his face. But you know what? He's trying to put on a strong face. He's trying to take those feelings and just push them down real far. You know, he doesn't want to make a scene here.
Well,
he doesn't want to make a scene.
I mean, I really don't think he has the healthiest lifestyle, probably. And then you wrote,
that
Florence Pugh
me.
Has a lot of hair to be able to make that layer cake of a ponytail. I thought it looked really cool. And then you were cool, like,
but it was like, I was like, wow, you actually need a lot of hair to make that stacked braided ponytail thing. I'm not saying it looked bad. It was just
the only part about that that did not seem realistic / real world to me was, I mean, it just didn't make sense that she would do that, because that kind of hairstyle takes a long time. Unless she's
It totally made sense, because she was trying to pick a hairstyle that would help her blend into the fancy party.
That's true, but then would also stay out of her face. And she does have like hobbies and stuff. And, you know, I'm sure maybe she enjoys that. So maybe that does, you know, work for
it. I thought it worked. Sense.
Yeah, it worked.
I thought it worked. I was just commenting at the amount of hair necessary to make that shit happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the things that keep me awake at night.
Fair.
What is your hair strain count? How many strands of hair per square inch do you have?
So weird, Amon. Okay. Yeah, but honestly, I do pay a lot of attention to small details, like especially when it comes to action type movies, roles where, and especially at women, like what kind of hairstyles do they have? What kind of shoes are they wearing? Why are you always putting them in heels? It's not practical. It doesn't make sense.
I'm big on the shoe thing as well.
Oh my God, it pisses me off so much. And of course, clothing. Yep. And it's like, God. Anyway, I think we're just kind of going all over the place with this show.
We are.
But I did want to talk more about Yelena and the Kate Bishop banter. And I love how she calls her Kate Bishop every time.
So I read an article on Screen Rant recently, and it was something that I feel like I should have known, given that you and I lived in Ukraine as kids for a couple of years. Uh-huh. But apparently, you know how Russian names are like, it's not, your name's not Ivan, it's Ivanovich.
Yeah.
All right. So if you know somebody, if you don't know somebody totally informally, like they're close friends of yours, you would call them by their formal name.
Yeah. First and last name.
In a sense, mm-hmm. Yeah. So for Yelena, there's also an aspect of it where it's coming naturally to her, because this is somebody who she doesn't know that well.
That's true.
To call to call her by her more formal full name, since there isn't really an English equivalent for a formal first name.
Yeah. I don't remember that from our years of living in Ukraine, but also we were children and no one was addressing us formally, like us children formally. So yeah.
Like I said, I feel like it's something I should have known, but I'm not surprised that I didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you. We're just agreeing with each other. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's aggressively agree with each other, Lena.
Weirdo. You'll never know when I'm agreeing with you. Anyway. But I also think what they said in the show, which is when Kate was like, are you just saying my first and last name to show that like you know everything about me? And she was like, yes, Kate Bishop, I am.
So, yes. I love that.
So I mean, that was also valid too.
And then the whole fork thing. Oh my God. That cracked me up.
Dude, Florence Pugh is just so good at this role. She's incredible.
She really is.
And very rarely do I like it when people who are not Russian, for example, are like making Russian accents in their whatever roles and stuff. Actually, it really annoys me. And like, for example, with Chernobyl, did you ever see the show, the miniseries Chernobyl on HBO?
I did not.
It was really good. At some point, you should watch it. It was very well done. The only annoying, and there it's full of phenomenal actors and actresses.
Yeah.
But on purpose, the writer and creator of the show decided that everything should be spoken in English. It was still obviously about Ukraine and everything.
Right.
And then like whatever street signs or anything written that you saw was still in Cyrillic. Everything spoken was in English. Yeah. And I just was like, man, this just bothers me. Like, I don't know, like maybe get Ukrainian actors. Like then, I mean, even though I love all these actors, but like, I don't know, like, or have them have some sort of, I don't know. I can't decide. Anyway, I have a whole thing about accents and I,
Yeah.
So the way that warrior did it.
Warrior. I was just thinking yeah. warrior.
Like the
they
way.
They should have done something like that.
And that's the one and yeah. only time I've seen a movie or TV show use that technique where they initially show characters speaking in a different foreign language.
Yeah.
And then using camera work, the way they just like swiveled the camera around them and then eventually had it seem like then they switched to English. But
yep.
because of the camera work, you realize that, oh, I'm just now in their head, but they're still yes. speaking like Chinese or whatever it is to each
in
other.
Cantonese.
Yeah. Cantonese. Yeah. Anyway, I think there should be more of that, but anyway.
Oh, I agree. But yeah, no, I was, yeah. I agree. The Russian accent is very, very tricky to fake.
Yes.
Because it's very hard to do a Russian accent without turning it into a caricature.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like that's particularly true with a Eastern European / Russian accent, more mm-hmm. so than other accents.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
There's a history like probably since like and Cold History. War of stuff yeah. that yeah. there's a history of just making fun of Russians and commies yes. and blah, 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 you know, and there have been plenty of jokes and movies yeah. making fun of them and stuff.
That's
so.
True. Maybe yeah. maybe Florence Pugh is doing this really well because she's using this accent to make fun of everybody else.
Who knows? Maybe. Yeah. But either way, she's doing a great job. And I love her. I love the character of Yelena so much.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely yeah. fantastic.
Yeah.
I was very confused, though, about Yelena's uncovering that Eleanor Bishop was the one who hired her because... What happened to Valentina Florida? Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character at the end Black Widow and in Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I don't know. I thought she was going to make an appearance, at least in like maybe the post-credit scene. But
I was thoroughly convinced of that. And then instead, the post-credit scene was the most annoyingly entertaining thing I've seen.
I was laughing, but I was also like, please make it stop. Wow, this musical is so bad. Please stop.
I think the only reason I kept watching it, I think, is because on the one hand, it was like watching a car accident or a train wreck that you can't look away from. But on the other hand, I was just thoroughly impressed with the commitment of those stage actors. Like that is a talented group of singers. I mean, stupid ass lyrics aside,
I mean,
they're very good singers. It was really so sang very well.
It was so long. I was like, why is this still happening? I thought it's going to be a minute long. But you know what? It
just kept going.
Honestly, I feel like they hired those, again, agree with you, very talented singers and, you know,
and Broadway
dancers
actors.
And actor, yeah. whatever. And I just feel like Marvel was probably like, you know what? We've hired you to do this like scene, which we're not able to insert all of it in the actual show, but we need to pay tribute to your talents. So here's a very, very long post-credit scene.
Yes. I kept waiting for like something to happen.
Yeah. I was like, really?
Something. Nothing.
And then I even forwarded after it was finally over. I forwarded more just to make sure there was like, no, I was like, really? Thing. There's no like second post-credit scene. Okay.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy, man. Oh my God. But I wonder if going back to Yelena and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and not being in any post-credit scene. I wonder if Yelena's going to get her own Disney Plus show because she's great.
She is great.
Yeah,
she deserves a movie or a show or mm-hmm. or something. I've heard some theories that they really are setting up a like next gen Avengers thing with the whole new Black Widow, new Hawkeye, yeah. or as I like to think of her, Hawkshot.
Oh God, that was so bad. Is that what they were implying at the very end when she was like, "What about Lady Hawk or Hawk Eve or whatever?" And then he said, "Remember the very last line in the actual show, Hawkeye says." I have an idea. And then it just cuts to
end credit
and it just says Hawkeye. Yeah. And does that mean she's going to be Hawkeye?
I think that's what they were implying.
Because he's trying to retire and just hang out on his farmhouse, whatever, with his kids and family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I think that's exactly what they were implying.
Yeah.
But Yes. Laura Barton.
Can we talk about Laura being a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent? I thought that was first of all, awesome.
Also, thank God. Thank God. Because in her previous appearances, she was such a like interchangeable stand-in random ass housewife character. Mm-hmm. Thank God they made it make sense. Like, how would Clint Barton end up meeting anybody outside of his line of work?
Yeah. Well, honestly, the thing is, she just appeared so infrequently that I think most audiences didn't think about her at all and just wonder about her backstory that much. And all we needed to know was, okay, this is Clint Barton's rock, you know? She is his rock. Yeah. She's what keeps him steady. They're in love, whatever, they have kids. You know, like, it's just like, okay, he has a family. Cool. And
but it's because of those very brief appearances that I was like, why are you here? Like, you're just a fill-in.
But I was even pleasantly surprised throughout the Hawkeye show, just seeing how much they worked and collaborated together. Exactly. Even like, so I was like, that's so cool. Like, I love that. Like, finally we have a superhero that's not trying to hide everything from his loved ones and his spouse, you know, like,
yes.
I'm like, that's so old now. Like, why do y'all keep doing this?
Thoroughly agree.
Yeah. That was very refreshing. So it was already refreshing in my mind. And then when they revealed at the very end that she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, either former or current, I don't know, but
I'm going to say former.
Yeah. I'm going to say former too. I thought that was great. I was like, oh, no way. That's awesome. So
yeah, because then it made her skills that she showed earlier in the show made sense.
Yeah.
Why is she somebody who has quote unquote contacts? Mm-hmm. Why does she speak German? Living in a farm.
How do we know she speaks German?
Because she spoke German.
When did she speak German?
Earlier in the season.
When? I don't remember that.
I don't know. She was in her house and she was talking on the phone to Clint, and then she said some stuff in German.
And then, I have no recollection of that.
Probably, and then her daughter was like, mom's on the phone with dad.
Oh. I don't remember that at all. I'm going to have to binge watch this whole series again, just because this whole once a week shit, don't like it. Don't like it.
But, you know, I got to say, the once a week, I feel like if I had binge watched this show, the progression of the relationship between Clint Barton and Kate Bishop would not have felt as organic as it did.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it would have felt rushed to me.
So when I binge things now, I don't like binge things anymore. I can't watch like one episode after another, after another, after another in one sitting. I can't do that.
I do that.
But I mean, I'll do that. I'll maybe do two episodes in one sitting now. But honestly, if I do more than that, I'm like, oh, this is too much. Everything, all the details are getting blurred together, whatever. But now what I like to do is like one episode per day. So if I had been able to watch all of Hawkeye like over the course of 1 week, I think still it would have worked.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
So anyway. That would work, especially since the whole show is supposed to take place over the course of 6 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would work.
Okay. Now we have to talk about Maya. Hello.
Oh. I thought you were going to say LARPers.
Well, them too. Yeah, we got to talk about the LARPers. But we got to talk about Maya.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, did you recognize her dad, the actor?
Yes.
He was in Reservation Dogs.
Light Horseman.
Yeah. So
It was weird seeing him in there, because I kept expecting him to say something really either weird or dumb or hilarious or all three all roped up into one. And he didn't.
I know. And it was pretty funny.
He was just an awesome actor who pulled me into his role of being a loving father who I guess turned out to also be a mafioso.
Yeah, we can't pick our lives sometimes. Anyway, Maya was great. Love that they got this awesome actress who, I mean, she is also in real life deaf and an amputee.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
I mean, like, not like, I'm glad they got somebody who actually fits the role and integrated her disabilities into the character, as opposed to, I mean, you know, I'm sure it was very tragic losing.
Right.
A leg.
Yes. I don't actually know the full story behind that, but we'll include some articles or something about her full story in the show notes. So yeah, I thought that was the whole progression of,
oh yeah,
you know, first you find the like tracksuit, what are they called?
The tracksuit mafia.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? And then, you know, that led to, you find out that like, she's the person behind them. Mm-hmm. And then you find out like that, then, you know, like, oh, there's a Black Widow that comes into it, which, by the way, the first scene that Yelena comes in and she starts like, you know, they're all fighting, but she's right. masked and stuff. Yeah. I was so mad at myself for not guessing that it was obviously Yelena. Like,
oh yeah. No,
I was like, who is this? I have no idea. Like, but anyway,
I know, especially since the end of Black Widow made it so obvious that she was going to appear in the show.
Yeah.
Like I was like smacking my head because of that too. I was like, how did I not see this coming? They told us it was coming and I still didn't see it coming.
Right. That's just good storytelling. So that's good storytelling then. You know, we were just so sucked into the story that we
did. I do got to say though, that when they revealed her face at the end of that episode, when she didn't say anything, she just took her mask, mm-hmm. just, she took it off or came off. I don't remember which. I think she took it off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize her at first.
Oh God, come on. That's like a you problem.
It is a me problem because I'm so bad with faces.
So how did you figure out it was Yelena? The internet?
The afterward. Internet.
Oh my God, you didn't even know later? Afterward. You should have just texted me.
It was so quick. I was like, wait, what? No. It was in the end credits when they said Florence Pugh. I was like, oh.
Come on, you're so lame. Okay. Anyway.
But it's okay. It's okay because I'm also really bad with names.
Right. Okay. So really what I was saying was, yeah, we know this. Okay. So what I was saying was that was another thing I enjoyed about the whole arc of Hawkeye is that like you see the more layers you peel back, then you see who's behind what.
Yeah.
And then you saw in the end, it's like Kingpin and you're like, holy fuck. So
it was quite well done. The peeling back of the layers. I feel like I've seen that in other movies and shows that involve mob thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it was good technique.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen it used before and I'm glad the MCU utilized the same kind of storytelling technique in this show, especially since the bad guys are the mob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is one very, very big question I still have though, after the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Tracksuit Mafia, and I assume by extension Kingpin, after the Rolex?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, why?
It's a shield thing.
But A, why was it in Avengers compound to begin with?
Wait, I actually totally forgot that that's what they were after.
Yeah, that's what they were after. They were after the fucking Rolex.
But then in the finale, like, it was about like getting Kate's mom and whatever, right? In the finale of Hawkeye, Kingpin was all about like getting revenge or killing Kate's mom. Yes,
because he needed to send a message to the city that it's his city, you know. But this whole thing started off with the Tracksuit Mafia like crashing this black market auction to get a hold of the Rolex.
Was it the watch or the Ronin suit they were after?
No, they were after the watch.
I don't even remember this. I can't remember anything.
They were after the watch. Oh. And I have to say, I am still not convinced. Like, I still don't understand why would you go so far out of your way for a watch? Even if it did belong to a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. A, first of all, why did Laura Barton, like, leave that at Avengers Compound? Why not? Like, it's her watch. Maybe why isn't she just hanging on to it?
She probably didn't do it on purpose. Remember?
Oh, she accidentally left it at her husband's work?
Yeah, that's possible.
Why was she there in the first place? She's a former
S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, I know. But by the time we met her, before Avengers Compound existed, all right, she was already in hiding with her family on the farm.
So who knows when it was lost? We don't know the timeline of all this crap, but they'll probably revisit it at some point.
I'm just saying it wasn't a sufficient enough explanation to explain the tracksuit. I'm never going to be able to say that without laughing. The tracksuit mafia's actions that kicked off this whole thing.
Yeah, I guess I honestly forgot about all of that. So I don't know if that part is good storytelling then. If I've completely forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a thing about the number 19 being on there, which
the number implies, 19 is on the watch.
Yeah. Oh, which implies, which implies that Laura Barton is in fact Mockingbird, which maybe, maybe removes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from MCU canon.
No. What?
I say maybe because the whole agent number thing might be like a 007 thing where it's like, oh, the last agent who had the number 007 died. So now we're giving it to the next one type of thing.
Maybe. Ooh, wait, but that'd be so messed up. Everything that we knew and learned about Coulson is just not canon.
Yeah. If you remember, Loki saw a lot of what happened in his future.
Right.
And the only thing we see about Coulson is that he died at Loki's hands. So they, the MCU has very specifically made it a point to not touch on anything that happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Why are they doing that?
Probably to leave open storytelling possibilities. And also probably to make sure that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not essential viewing to understand what's happening in the MCU. Yeah.
It did get a little unwieldy, I'm not going to lie, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Putting it mildly.
But I mean, I still enjoyed it. I mean, the whole that whole season where it was about the LMDs, mind-blowing. It was so good. It was so good.
It was a little crazy.
And what was that? Like season six or something? Five, six? I don't even remember how. There were a lot of seasons. There were a little too many seasons of the show, in my opinion. And everything got a little crazier and crazier and crazier. So, I mean, yeah. So I don't blame them if they're just like, you know what? Let's just not consider this canon.
Let's just not open up that can of worms.
Yeah, that's too much. Because there was, yeah, I mean, there was literally, because there was no acknowledgement in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of the blip.
The blip.
Yeah. And all of that. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah. What else do we need to talk about?
Why would you go by the name Tracksuit Mafia? That's what I want to know. Like,
why would you pick tracksuits to be your uniform?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing it's cheap as a uniform.
Probably, yeah.
And, you know, still allows people to express themselves a little bit at the workplace. But it seems like a serious branding issue, which, as Kate brought up, is a major problem for Hawkeye. Yeah. And I imagine it's also an issue for the tracksuits.
Yeah. Wait, can we talk about the LARPers?
Yes, the LARPers. That's what we're going to talk about.
What I didn't understand is at the end. Well, first of all, fantastic that they were the waiters at the holiday party. I was like, not expecting that. Not sure what was happening there at first. Yep. And then, And then what I didn't understand is at the end, why did they change into their cosplaying costumes? Like, why would that help?
To get people's attention. Like, as people are running out, they were trying to get their attention to be like, head this way, folks. This is the exit. And for all of our listeners, I'm waving my hands indicating where the exit is.
Right.
But they weren't, people weren't paying attention to them because they were just wearing their wait staff.
I think that could have been showcased better visually. Because it seemed to me it didn't really make a difference. I was like, okay, they're in there.
Yeah. But then here's the thing. Here's the thing that I did appreciate. When they put on their LARPer costumes, they took on their LARPer personas, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I love. They got into the role, like knocking people down and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
That was cool. I thought the LARPers were just going to be one scene in one episode, but I love that they were...
like, repeats again and again. They kept showing up and made a difference.
Yeah.
Made a difference. That's why Hawkeye got his Hawkeye branded closer to comic accurate costume.
Yeah. I guess. That was cool. So
yeah,
we'll see how...
A believable way to get a costume, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That is a...
Yeah.
And these cosplay costumes are no joke, man. Some people...
No, they are not.
Amazing costumes that are... You know, it's not like just, oh, we just got some fabric from Michaels or something, you know, yeah. And it's like hardcore.
Real world accurate.
Yeah. Costumes. Like, and I feel like every year they're just getting better and better. People are really outdoing themselves every year with how.
Oh, yeah, them. Absolutely.
Very impressive.
It's, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, if anybody has any interest, you know, like I don't like large crowds, so I'm probably never going to go to San Diego Comic-Con, but I love looking at pictures of all of the costumes that people create at home. And they are mind-bendingly amazing, some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yep. Shout out to cosplayers and LARPers.
Huge shout out. Mm-hmm. All respect.
I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I wanted to talk about, so Maya is supposed to be this character called Echo.
Yes.
I don't know anything about Echo.
I know nothing about Echo either.
But I wonder if I don't know what's happening with Echo, but I'm curious and very excited to for whatever's going to happen next.
I heard there's a show that there's going to be an Echo show.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, damn, I wonder what happened in that gunshot scene then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. And I really hope that Kingpin sticks around as a big time underworld bad guy. Because he really brought, I think the MCU could really benefit from having more underground bad guys who are an actual serious threat. Mm-hmm. Not everything has to build up to a universe ending or global invasion scale threat.
Yeah.
For it to feel truly intimidating and to feel like a real threat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the way Kingpin took on everybody, you know, like himself personally, getting his hands dirty. He's a character who doesn't like to get his own hands dirty, but is not afraid to should he need to.
Yeah.
But the way he did that, it was like, okay, this is a guy that Cap would have trouble with.
Yeah.
Taken on head on, you know, and he is smart enough where he would probably end up outmaneuvering Cap, either Cap, you know, so that a face-to-face confrontation never even have to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, I think it just got me so excited beyond just seeing Vincent D'Onofrio like reprise the role of Kingpin. In and of itself, creating a threat like Kingpin, I thought was a huge step for the MCU and a huge step for villainy in general, or portrayal of, okay, that came out weird. The portrayal of villains and the kind of threats that our heroes can possibly face.
Right. Okay. Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Yes. Very well. I'm very curious to see what else is going to happen. And yeah, like you said, I'm very much enjoying the street level view
of
conflicts and characters and
street level view.
Yeah. But honestly, yeah. Hawkeye in general just turned out way better than I expected. When I saw the trailer, I was like, ugh, they're making this like a Christmas show. What the hell is it?
I know. I thought this was going to be the stupidest thing ever.
I know they were trying to be all cute and cheeky with the trailer. And I think a lot of people were very excited about it but I saw it and I was like, oh, I'm so turned off right now. This is not going to be good.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was better than I expected.
Yeah. And I love the meta shout out because at first when I heard a show about Hawkeye, I was like, why do I care?
Yeah.
And I love the meta shout out of like, it's a branding issue.
Yeah.
That's why you don't know why you should care. It's because it's a branding issue.
It's a branding issue. That's what Hawkeye's problem is. Oh, that was great.
But the thing is, it's true. That is what his big problem is.
Yeah.
It's branding. It's about the branding is the reputation that you have in other people's minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What other people think of you is your brand.
Yeah. As depressing as that is, your brand is important. Yeah.
And Hawkeye has a branding issue.
Well, not anymore.
I don't know. That purple V thing, I didn't even like it in the comics.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, I mean, it looks great on Kate, which is why it's going to be great.
Also, just real quick. Yeah. Those trick arrows, how do you build that in a garage?
Doesn't make any sense.
How do you get the materials and the technology? Like, some of that technology is like defies the fabric of space-time. I mean, like, are each of those arrowheads like little TARDISes that have more space on the inside? Like, what?
Also, I don't think the hell is happening. I don't think they were even in a garage, Aman. They were in like Kate's aunt's apartment.
Even crazier.
Yeah. So there is no real world comparison to that, and that didn't make sense. I agree. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We're just gonna go with it. So.
Yeah, I don't think we have time to get into the whole trick arrows issue, but yeah, just wanted to make sure we throw that out there.
Yep. Exactly. Great. I think we pretty much covered it in a, you know, ping pongy roundabout way. But there you have it. Our thoughts on Hawkeye.
It was a fun ping pong.
Yep. As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
Catch you next time.